It's December 22nd, 2018, and I don't have an intro. I just realized I don't have an intro. I'm 6MR.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is still Bottle Crow Reborn, a Dota 2 podcast where we talk about Dota 2 occasionally, and it's also a podcast.
Nick, sometimes I start off and I'm like, I have to admit, I don't have an intro, right? Mm-hmm. But I was really convinced I had one until I realized, like, I didn't even forget one. I just didn't.
It's been a while since we've, you know, come to the studio here.
Yeah, I took way too long to edit the last episode.
And we've been busy, you know. Sing 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 was planning on doing some, you know, some new recordings. We'll see if that ends up happening. It probably won't. It's been a busy Frostivus season for both of us.
It really has. And, you know, I've also been playing Dota and Dota-associated games, which sometimes I haven't on this podcast, so that's taken up even more time.
Mm-hmm. Turns out playing Dota also takes up time you could spend talking about Dota.
Mm-hmm. It's very true.
So how are you feeling with Dota? You know, before we get away from Dota and talk about the usual non-Dota things, how's Dota?
So I've had some shadows of how you feel. Mm. I've had some glimpses at the corner of my eye, right? Mm-hmm. But I played some Dota this week. I played a couple of games. The Rubik set coming out was like, I always wanted to be good at Rubik, right?
Yeah.
You probably know that about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. And I sort of like one of those things where I'm just like, I just don't know what it is, but I'm just not that good at Rubik. But with the Arcana and with it unlocking things based on you winning, it's like, okay, now's the time. We're gonna go for it. And I've actually been winning a lot, and it's been fine. I've only played four games since we last recorded. I played an Earthshaker, a Shadow Demon, and two Rubiks, and I have won all four of those games.
Has that all been party queue stuff?
One of them has been party queue. The other three have been solo.
Wow. I think I haven't played a solo queue game in like 2 months. I realized the other day. It's something, I don't know. I might have to try it. Just dabble.
I mean, like, I'm playing these solo queue Rubik games, and like, you know, mm-hmm. it's the Dota community. I'm experiencing some people I don't like very much, mm-hmm. but we're winning, and we're playing fairly well, actually. Yeah. Like, I don't have, like, the only complaints I tend to have about my teammates is more their attitudes than their performance, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, nice.
Yeah.
So on the notes here, what Six is alluding to, when we started these notes immediately after the last episode, at some point I lost a game, or probably many games, and I just wrote a note that saying, boy, I'm so tired of 720, who actually even develops Dota anymore? Because when 720 came out, it was a goddamn mess. It was a disaster, in my mind. Mm. More just like, they don't play test fucking anything anymore, it looks like. Or like, not enough, obviously.
And I can certainly see why you'd say that, yeah.
All the heroes who were reworked were just broken. It's like, in many ways, they just felt so broken in a way that, like, even, you know, launch new heroes didn't feel. Like, Huskar, before he got a little bit of nerfs, even now, like, the new Huskar is incredibly frustrating. And it's not even necessarily that he's not balanced. I think maybe he's not balanced. You know, I haven't looked at the stats recently. It's just, the new patch made me feel, at least, so much worse, just in everything, playing against those heroes.
Hmm.
Just like being in a lane with a tri lane, right? If I go off lane and I'm against a tri lane with like Lich, Dazzle, and any carry, I felt like I was 500 MMR. It's like, it's still that way now, and I just kind of have to like sit back and not try to do anything in those kind of lanes. Mm-hmm. But it felt just like, hey, we took these heroes who were like supports who weren't super active, and we made them a lot more fun to play. Oh, also, they're incredibly buffed. Just like, we've doubled the amount of CC they had. Like with Lich is what got me really frosty a lot of the time. It's just the amount of buff to give a person like first, you know, the percentage damage reduction was insane. It was like, why am I not killing this person? Oh, right. It's giving them percentage physical damage reduction. Mm-hmm. And then the slow, and then the E is like another stun taunt thing. It was, I had to adjust to playing against Lich, let's say that. But more than I had felt, or at least more than I can remember with any other patch, God, it was, I've had some of the most frustrating games I can remember in, you know, the time since 720 has come out.
Hmm.
It's like when I lost so hard. And that was really very tilting for me. And so that's why that's, you know, the top of the notes here when I was complaining about it.
That makes sense. I mean, I can understand that. I don't know. It's different. Like, we have the experience. Like, I don't, like, okay, so here's, I hate to turn it back to myself for a second. But, so the two games I have played this week have both been, like, in the, at the start of both games, which, by the way, we won, and I did a fine job, someone's like, why the fuck is there a Crusader in our games? Because I've only calibrated party MMR this season, not solo. And my party MMR is, like, I think almost everyone, significantly lower than my solo MMR.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I don't know, I wonder about how well matchmaking and MMR is working these days.
Hmm.
I feel like there are a couple of things, right? Like, one, I think when you recalibrate, it doesn't, like, I feel like you don't change that much. And, like, of course you don't, right? It's not like, oh, suddenly you've gotten so much better or so much worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who don't adapt very well to the changes in the meta.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have people who were good players before or whatever, and this new meta just doesn't click with them, but they're the same rank.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of this, like, matchmaking, you're getting matches where it's like, I mean, in my games, like, I'm sure this is not true for you just because you're a tier of MMR higher than I am, but it's like a bunch of games where it's like where everyone is being like, how come they have five legends? What the fuck? This doesn't make any sense. And it's like, and then we beat them.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels like these numbers have gotten really messed up in a really strange way.
Yeah. Like, the calibration is more, it's almost, it feels like it wouldn't be for the person anymore. It's not like about your personal rank. It's like a billboard of your general playing skill, I guess, like your temperament, right? It's like, okay, you know, are we playing against a team of five legends? It, you know, the legend rank loses its meaning if, you know, your team is, you know, all heralds, right? And you're going up against a team of legends. It's like, oh, well, either, you know, they're going to smash us in matchmaking, like the algorithm fucked up, or these people have fallen all from legend rank to, you know, being internally their MMR is actually really low. So it's more like, you know, this, I mean, the recalibration I think is coming in January. Is that even, you know, biannually or whatever, twice a year? I don't actually remember what they were supposed to do and what they are doing. I just, you know, kind of don't even keep track of what Valve says, right? But,
yeah,
you know, it's coming, and then we'll see where the heck I end up. Though, actually, I think last episode I mentioned how I went from ancient, like, one or to two or something like that. And from losing games, that's how my percentage has increased. Like, I would lose games and gain 5% towards the next rank, which is very confusing as well. I don't know. It's a little arbitrary, I guess, at this point. But, like, all these fundamental changes in the patches, like, they keep messing with stats and stuff like that. I feel like it can easily, like, shake somebody's core, like, playing ability.
And even if you don't, like, and even if you're not, so, okay, like, I don't know how this affects me. I'm not going to say it affects me one way or the other. But I probably, from some angle, am a great example of how this can go wrong. Because I have a very specific playstyle, right? And it's, in fact, something I've been thinking about lately, about maybe it's finally time for me to really try and change. Because playing the, like, ultra-starving position 6, I bet I can under-farm anyone on your team. Like, I find that satisfying, but also, it's like, there are going to be metas, and I don't know this meta well enough yet, but there are going to be metas where it's like, nah, if you don't have more HP, you just can't do shit.
I feel like this might be it, like with the changes to Lich, right? Like Lich, it was kind of like a, hey, I will sap XP from the enemy lane. I don't really do a lot, but like you're very important and critical, and then you can do other things not, you know, specifically related to your hero. But now, like, a position 5 Lich can have as much impact from minute zero as like any other hero, or like more impact than any other hero. It's extremely critical as the position 5 to like have high impact ganks and lane harass.
That's true, but I've also found it harder than previous patches. And again, like I'm also a weird case study because of how little I play Dota these days, and I'm ramping up. I'm starting to play more. I'm having a good time. But in my experience in this patch, I am dying a lot more in fights just as a consequence of fights being a thing. Like I'm not like I'm doing a good job with my I feel like I'm doing a good job with my positioning and stuff. It's just there's AoE flying everywhere and I like they don't even notice they're killing me.
Mm-hmm. Or it's just like it doesn't take much. Like with Nightstalker, you can just fly over to you, right? And just like in three bashes, you know, he destroys any position 5. Huskar just keeps diving. You know, it doesn't have to stop to cast his Q anymore. He just keeps regenning. He's like, oh, and I'll take this support here, this center camp here. Oh, another support. Okay, now time for the next carry. Like I definitely have felt that a lot in fights. Just like, oh, I'm dead now.
Ironically, the most survivable I've been is when I've been kind of reckless. like, there was one of those games where I was playing Rubick where I was up against an axe, and I was using my Force Staff and Stolen Call a lot. And I did not have armor or HP, but it's like, I kept, you know, scooting away with 150 HP left, and we killed whoever we were going after.
It feels like having, like, teammates be on the same page, or at least, like, in the same direction, like forward or reverse, what are we doing here, is really, really good in this meta. It's and like it kind of the team like, fight meta, I guess.
Yeah, it's a team fight meta, and it's like a fast, explosive team fight meta. Like, we've had metas where team fights were these things that last, like, you know, we've all seen, like, we've all watched pro games where it was like, oh, this team fight lasted, you know, 5 minutes. It was just this big rolling fight. That's not happening anymore. People are blowing the fuck up.
Yeah, it happens less often. I guess just because of the heroes. Like the way they are now. I don't know. It's a big change. You know, people were saying 720 was like, you know, the biggest patch ever. And I was like, I don't know. But then the more I played it, the more I was like, man, it didn't change things so much that it felt... it changed a lot of things, but it never felt like, oh, this is all brand new, like, you know, 7.0 was. That felt like, you know, massive, huge patch. But in terms of actually changing how you play, you know, change up the meta, and then just change, like, the tools you have when you play the video game, I guess it is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So are you still pretty down on it, or?
I only... rarely these days. Like, whenever I lose, I feel like I'm losing much harder in this patch. Like, whenever there's a Huskar who's really good, it's just, like, if you didn't take the burst hero and you can't farm a super urn, it feels really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, the Eternal War Machine rages on.
There's been a lot of, like, the old Chinese style of that I've had to play of, like, sit in the base for 25 minutes after... you've lost the laning stage. I have a lot of that these days, which is not the most fun way to play. Like, there's not really a lot of chance to turn around, but you can do a lot of, you know, scrabbling in the dirt, basically, on your high ground.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of those games.
And they're just, they're demoralizing. They're not,
it's like, I don't really feel like doing that again. I'm not going to queue again.
High ground is my least favorite part of Dota. It always has been. Yeah, and it just, like, the more metas emphasize it, the more I'm like, gosh, I don't
like,
know.
Like, if you're more evenly matched, it can produce some of the best team fights to, like, play or watch, right? You know, five-man Black Hole, five-man Ravage. But if it's like, okay, you got a five-man Ravage, the Huskar has taken no damage, it just feels like, oh, well, then what's even the point? So don't get into those situations, though, you know? Just be better, I guess.
Yeah.
Get the last eats.
I also think part of it, though, is just that I am
bad at High Ground. Like, there's a sense, like, when you watch a game and you're like, oh, they have such a big net worth advantage, they can take High Ground, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're in the trenches, I feel like I never know. Yeah. I never know if I can actually take High Ground. And that, like, again, going back to one of my games today, we were playing and our Beastmaster was doing a bunch of split pushing and we tried to go for their High Ground and we got pushed back pretty hard, right? And we were out there and I do the thing that I always do and I was like, okay, we can try High Ground again, but first we're going to need some pickoffs and we're going to need to, you know, establish some map control. And Beastmaster said, like, word for word, you're an idiot. Soloed Roche, and then we 5-0 them. We just wiped them and took megas. And it was just like, oh, no, it was just a bad initiation that first time. We're actually super powerful and could easily do this. And I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, and I not really thought about that way, but yep. It's definitely true.
So, I don't know. It's just weird because I don't know how I'll ever... I can tell, I feel like, when I'm stronger than the enemy or when the enemy's stronger than me, but, like, the X factor of High Ground, it's not a true X factor. You can calculate it. I just have no idea how.
Yeah. I mean, if knowing the net worth positions when you're actually in a game, I feel like is like a very high level skill, or like it's a very critical skill that, like, gains you a lot of MMR. Like, you are much, much better if you can actually know that at any point in the game, because once you know that, it's like this whole level of information to, like, exploit the map and exploit how the draft has, you know, exploit the draft, exploit how the lane has gone, exploit where the buildings are. Like, that is a huge part of the, you know, the information suite that you have to make decisions with.
And, like, we all have moments of knowing the timing, right? Of, like, oh, three of us got ags at the same time. We're probably really strong right now. But, like, those moments are happening constantly on a smaller scale. It's just, you know, the skill of being able to tell.
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes the pros, right? They know every opportunity and they take them.
Yeah. Well, from Dota... Let's take a quick duck. Well, of course, come back. There's more Dota to talk about. But let's take a quick duck over to the world of Artifact.
Artifact, Artifact, Artifact.
It's magical. How much Artifact have you played since we last recorded?
None. I've played absolutely none.
I knew that would be the answer.
Not necessarily because I didn't want to. It's just that I didn't actively want to play, but I didn't actively be like, you, Artifact.
I didn't want to. It's just that I didn't want to.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. I kept meaning to be like, you know, I should try this out some more, but I don't know. When I've been looking, you know, like, get home from work, like, if I have some time to play a game, it's like, I didn't want to play the card game. It's like, maybe I'll play Dota or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the future here, we'll see. But they've also changed things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their stance completely on balancing, because they were basically obsessed with the fact that, you know, Artifact is a trading card game. And one of the things with, you know, the entire market they have of, like, hey, these cards have quote unquote value, is that, hey, we're not going to change the cards. We're going to act like we're a physical card game. We're not going to balance, you know, buff nerf certain cards, because that will degrade the value of them somewhat, because people will be uncertain if, you know, their card will be bad in the future. And so they won't pay as much for it. And then they're like, actually, we realized, you know what? People just want to play a fucking video game. We're going to, you know, actually put out balance changes here. So I'm glad they act, you know, they're using the digital medium in a way in which is, like, one of the main advantages of it. Like, a lot of people were pointing out, like, why would you release it as a digital card game in the first place? So I'm glad they did that. That gives me hope for, you know, the long-term future, if they actually have the knobs to tweak on certain, you know, if certain metas or certain decks weren't fun, it's not very fun to say, like, oh, you just can't play those cards, which they want to do, or just, like, they have to release better cards to beat that meta. No, it's just, you know, balance it like a video game, patch it, that's great. And then they also twiddled, like, they added ranking, and there's, I think, modes in which you can earn, you know, like the queue tickets and card packs and stuff, technically. Like, not a lot. It's not just spewing stuff at you, but there is...
Let's talk about that, shall we?
Yeah, there is progression
here. Because I have played Artifact since this update.
How much?
I have played 2 games.
Okay.
So the first level of XP is 500 XP, right?
Mm-hmm.
I played 2 games. I lost both games. By the way, it was against the same person. Valve, you matched me against the same person who completely stopped me twice in a row. Thank you for that. Who was also significantly higher level than me. Clearly, they'd played a lot more than me. That was just generally a good time for me. Both of these games were over half an hour in length.
Wow.
You know how much XP I got for 2 games out of 500?
And you lost these. I don't know.
Yeah, I did lose them. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it?
13 experience.
Oh.
Now, the main way you're going to level is by getting your weekly XP bonus by winning 3 times, is what I can tell. But aside from that bonus, you can kind of go fuck yourself. Because even, like, winning is 10 XP. Or, no, it's 50, excuse me. It's 50. But that's still a tenth of the level at first level. And by the way, the amount of XP it takes to level, of course, goes up with levels. So it quickly becomes irrelevant. But also, so... when you level up, you get some bonuses, including a card pack, right?
That's nice.
There's a cap. Every season, you can get 15 card packs, and then they won't drop anymore. Doesn't matter how much you play.
That's fine.
I think it's kind of shitty. But also, really? It's so hard to level that it doesn't... I mean, like, other games like this don't have that kind of limit.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think that would just... Well, what if that just break the market, because you just have, like... 50 people play in one account, right? And then that would break the market because you'd have an infinite amount of cards.
So here's 2 things. One, why do we care about the market as compared to the fucking video game?
Yeah, that is a main... just, like, question, like, when I saw in their Valve's post, like, you know, we realize that most people come here to play the fun game, and I'm like, hey, wait a second. This is a video game you're supposed to have fun in. Who cares about the fucking digital cards?
This isn't the goddamn stock market. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm thinking far too much for Valve here, which we do plenty of anyways, but.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the ideas they've gotten from us. Or at least it feels
we'll
like
get
it.
There.
I think it's frustrating. I mean, like, also with the state of their matchmaking, I mean, like, I've only ever gotten completely smoked.
I think there was, like, 3,000 concurrent players before they released this update. Like,
yeah, it kind of dropped off a cliff.
Yeah. So, yeah, people were saying, like, you know, when casual people or just, like, general player base shrinks, who do you think is going to be left? It's going to be all the hardcore people who've been playing, who like the game a lot, which means they're probably better at the game. And so if you just try to, like... as a casual, you know, or just a beginner, come into the game and try to matchmake, you're just going to get slammed every time because there's all these, you know, hundreds of hours people. That's all who's in the queue.
And also, another thing that has, I mean, so the person was level 5, and knowing the numbers on the weekly bonus and the fact that they only could have gotten 1 weekly bonus... that means they must have played at least 100 matches.
Since the level came out?
Since the level came out. Really great job matching me against them, Valve, again. Yeah. Really, really grateful. but also, just like...
How long are the queues?
For that, they were real short. They were really quick. That was one thing I guess, nice. But I would have liked them to try a little harder to find a proper match. But the other thing was, I'm starting to worry about balance in this game. Like, okay, for anyone who's not familiar with Artifact, there is a concept of cards called improvements, right? Mm-hmm. Improvements are upgrades you can play to a given lane. And they buff that lane with a power. It could be, like, at the start of every round, do 2 damage to every enemy. It could be, like, deal 4 damage to the enemy tower. It could be... whenever a hero dies, draw a card, a whole bunch of range of powers, right?
Yep.
The person I was playing against was using one of the Call to Arms decks, so it wasn't like they built this deck themselves. Mm-hmm. On two lanes, they had 4 improvements, and on one lane, they had 7. And it was just like, I would play heroes, and they would die before I could take a turn. Yeah, mm-hmm. I literally couldn't play, because it was just like, I'd play them in, and they'd get hit by 7 AoE damage for the turn starting. And it's like, I feel like there should be a cap on how many improvements you can put on one spot. And then also, because the person was a real gentleman, they refused to end the game and just were sitting there, you know, like, drawing cards and buffing when I literally couldn't play. It was very of nice. Course. I don't know. Artifact needs some work, I feel like. And, you know, this is the bitching of a loser, but...
maybe we should play against each other more. Should I construct a deck?
You know, I just want to be able to play random draft against you, like the draw mode against you. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
I would also like it if you constructed a deck, but I would like it better if it felt like...
If it felt like we did it on the fly, you know, same time period, same... The same, you know, level playing field I get. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, that's... I still basically like Artifact, but I feel like the balance isn't there. I feel like the leveling is definitely not there. Mm-hmm. And these things are compounded by how fucking long matches are.
30 minutes, damn. Yeah, I have not had those in the few games I've played, but I can imagine.
Well, as I say, it helped that the person kept dragging them out on purpose. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
You want to not talk about Dota 2 still?
If you want, sure.
Okay. Let's talk about Frosthaven 6.
Oh.
Let's
not Dota 2.
Let's throw down the gauntlet. It's happened again. The Bottle Crow curse strikes yet again.
So it was last year, right? It was last year, around this time of year, mm-hmm. where I was like, here's, like, we both came up with ideas for a Frostivus event. And I don't remember what year's was.
I'm trying to remember. It was like, yeah, I don't remember.
I mean, I didn't remember what mine was until I saw it on the official Dota update. I mean, not literally. Okay, so my idea was like, it was this dumb goof around, like, Rubik stealing the spell that causes Christmas, and you had to stop Rubik or he was going to ruin Christmas by just spamming the spell. It was very dumb. But Rubik Steals Christmas is this year's Frostivus game.
I mean...
And, you know, they built it differently than I did. I would even go so far as to say they built it more intelligently than I did. But... I haven't played it because, you know, even when you literally take my idea for a holiday event, I still just want to play fucking Dota.
And also, so I've actually played a fair bit of Frosthaven. It's the same, like, very hard, like, wave after wave game where there's a set number of heroes. They've tweaked more of the abilities this time. At least to, like, tailor it for this mode, which is nice, but it's still very hard. But former Bottle Crow host Jesse, I think, has gotten, like, hooked by it a little bit, and so I think I've played maybe 5 games of it. We've played as, like, a 5 stack, and I've had fun during the game. But I don't know how much more I can play because it's just, like, it's just very hard. It's also hard to run the game. There's one mode, or one wave, where it's a bunch of brood mothers, and when you kill a big brood mother, it explodes into probably, I kid you not, 100 smaller spiders, and you just lose all of your frames and also all of your health, and there's a fun shock value to it, and it's just, what the fuck? Because you kill this one spider and then suddenly your screen stops moving and you die. And then suddenly there are 100 spiders on your corpse. But it's it's better than Dark Moon, I think. Not that that's a high bar.
Hmm. Nick, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You've played a lot of custom games, right?
Compared to the average person, at least.
Yeah. As a general trend, do you feel like custom games are better when they're weird player versus player things, or when it's player versus a series of janky scripts? I know I loaded the language there, but that's because the answer is fucking obvious.
It's more... I thought you were going to make a... I don't know how to say it, a less petty argument there. I don't mean it that way, but you know, a less leading argument. More like, is it more fun to play like a game with a lot of a game that is hard to complete, or a game that is fun to play? It's more fun to play a game that's more fun to play. Like, I don't know why all these special events
just,
that are supposed
I don't know
to be
why these
like it's
frosted,
on the main
like all these...
page of Dota. It's Frostivus. It's a holiday season. Like, if you want to have this fun game for your entire community to play, not everybody wants to learn the meta of Frosthaven, okay? It's just not very fun to do. It's not very rewarding. Just make it more fun.
And I mean,
more accessible.
I always thought that the idea of these modes was that there were two ways to play them, right? One was, I want to play Dota, but I'm not down for Dota right now, right? Mm-hmm. And the other was, okay, I had a series of bad matches. I would like an after-dinner mint before I stop playing.
Yeah.
I don't know what this satisfies.
It's the same as Dota. Like, you have to learn the difficult way in which to win the game, complete the game, work together. I don't know. Like, I've chosen to, you know, just power through and PMA full positivity here. And so, like, while playing the game, I'm just like, my first reaction upon playing it was, are you kidding me? They did the exact same fucking thing again. It's another hard PvE, not very fun mode. I've had a little bit more fun than this one with regards to, I guess, just Siltbreaker and Dark Moon. But still, it's like, God, you know, I feel like there's so much more potential. And at least this way, Frosthaven has, like, progression in the same way Battle Pass does, so there's rewards and stuff. You don't actually get a lot of points towards rewards, and you have to grind a lot of Frosthaven. But there's, like a Jingle Bell soundboard thing that you can put under your chat wheel, so that's fun. There's sets, you know, Spin Riley's Crystal Wheel, or it's Roshan's Crystal Wheel or something. So, you know, I got a set, I got... something else, I can't remember. And, you know, that's fine. The other thing they added was in this Frosthaven mode, there's, like, items that you get. There's, like, a thing that turns a tree into a mini radiance for a few seconds. There's a snowman you can plant that taunts creeps around it. There's, like, a clockwork flare that blinds. They added those into real Dota. I'm sure you've seen. Like, with Dota Plus shards, you can buy these, like, taunt items. So there's four of them. One is a snowball. So you can, in the middle of a real Dota game, throw a snowball at someone. You can plant a snowman on the ground. You can turn a tree into, like, a Frostivus tree. And then you can, like I said, basically clockwork flare. It's pretty funny, like, in main games. Real Dota games, I mean. You know, if you take somebody's last hit, then you also throw a snowball at them. It's pretty fun. I know you probably don't like it, and I know it's probably stupid and goofy, but, you know, it is stupid and goofy. Shoulder shrug, yeah. Shoulder shrug.
I mean, it's fine.
Okay.
I don't know. It hasn't bothered me much in my games. I'm sure at some point it will, and then I'll be on this podcast talking about how I wish it were dead and everyone involved were dead.
It is just kind of fun to have your lane partner just put a snowman in the middle of your lane while you're last hitting.
Yeah.
But it just break my Dota immersion. I don't want to
think
about... You
want to talk about breaking Dota immersion.
Okay.
Let's talk about the new Frostivus treasure.
Let's do it.
You know what I love?
Everything.
League of Legends. Also everything.
Really? You think it's a league? Okay.
Yeah. No, you know, I feel like... The problem with Dota, And we've been working on this for a while. I got to commend Ice Frog and Gabe and the whole team over there for really focusing and putting their effort, because at one point Dota was full of sets that made sense for the characters and their lore and also were cosmetically appropriate and like you could tell who was who and stuff. And they've really worked on tearing down that Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall between decency and fucking trash.
But, like, what if Invoker had a braided beard?
You know what? That's stupid, but that's okay. That's, like, that's dumb, but it's, like, I he's lived a really long life. I guess I could understand at some point if he had a different kind of fashion. Mm-hmm. The techies being dressed up like penguins. What if techies was a penguin? That one is a problem for me.
Oh, I love it. It's so good.
You have to understand, I don't really like fun.
This is just like full slacks and purge here. I'm just like, hee 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 hee. And you're like, this is actually so stupid. You know, my, what is it? Glance value. My glance value is really low here. On this
you have two options on this podcast. You can like fun or you can like Dota. I like Dota.
Choose one.
I know you wouldn't know that I like Dota with how little I've played over the last year.
I'm sorry,
or so,
we're going to get copyright strike if you say that you like Dota anymore, because we do not like Dota, just to be very clear.
No, I like Dota.
Okay. I like Dota. You like Dota, but we like Dota is not...
Both of us like Dota.
True. The two of us enjoy Dota.
We love Dota. I would even say that we like that game.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a good bit. Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I like the treasure. I think it's fine.
I don't.
But I have, I am trash. I do have a low bar. Yeah.
It's true. You are. Mostly, I feel like it's fine, but the Techies Penguin one is too far for me.
Really? But it's Techies. Like, the hero itself is too far.
Yeah, you're right. And so we should just double down. Like, it's like, oh, you know what?
Yes.
We broke a law. Let's just keep breaking laws.
Yeah.
Fucking, I love
purge.
The purge.
There's no government right now. It's the purge. You'll agree to the purge.
What if there was a sequel to the purge called The Kevin Godick?
Kevin Godick. It's the exact same movie as the original Purge, but you know, when the face pops up in like the camera or around a corner instead of a mask, it's just Kevin Godick. Yo, over to this Purge.
Whenever there's I've never seen any of those movies. Is there narration? If there's narration,
I don't know. I've also
if there's narration. Or if there's not ad narration, but mm-hmm. it's never like voiceover on the scene. It just cuts to Purge standing in front of a green screen that doesn't have anything on it. It's just a green sheet, and he's holding a piece of paper, and he just sort of blankly reads, like, and then they went to go see the king.
The purge has begun. All laws are suspended for 24 hours. Oh, Tango, get down. Nope, Tango, I'll take you for work later.
All laws are suspended. Let me bust out a spreadsheet. I want to see what kind of effect this would have on taxes. You know what's a good cosmetic?
The something for Enchantress.
That one's okay. I like the horns.
Okay.
Like the reindeer horns. Those are good luck. No, I was thinking about the Rubik Arcana, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We haven't had your hat review of the Rubik Arcana.
So, it is pay to lose.
It is.
Which is a little unfortunate because it means we're probably not going to see it in pro games. And the other downside of it, just to get the downsides out of the way, I respect them for being like, hey, we're going to release a special version of The Voice, which is just, Barry Denon, rest in peace, without any effects, just like the original performance, right? Mm-hmm. But it does sound better with the effects. He does sound cooler with the effects. Mm-hmm. That said, this Arcana is sick.
Yeah, they did. They put a lot of work into this. And by pay to lose, we mean, in case people haven't thought about it, like, you can now tell very clearly where, or like, who casted a spell, right? So with Chronosphere, or like with Black Hole or with Shrapnel, you could never tell if Rubik cast it or the original hero cast it, unless, you know, you could see Rubik cast it, but in the middle of a team fight, who's going to see that, right?
You can also see who he currently has a spell stolen from.
Really? I did not know
because
that.
Because he changes color. Oh, and so, like, when I stole Call, I turned red.
And yeah, it's like, you have to, like, click on the hero. It adds, you know, a delay in time and stuff like that. But now it's just like, oh, shit, I see a red Rubik. Blink away. You don't even have to click.
Yeah. And I honestly, this is one of those situations where I wish they'd just add a way that wasn't as fancy to make that. That should be part of the core Rubik experience, honestly. Yeah. I understand the people who are like, no, there's value in the deceit and misinformation. I just don't think it is worth it.
I mean, I think there is. And, you know, that's like a balancing thing, too. But, you know, it is now inconsistent across hats. So.
And also, you could buff Rubik if you changed that.
True.
What if you buffed Rubik?
Rubik is a god right now. What are you talking about?
Shut up!
The fucking status resistance thing? Oh my god.
Nick, shut up!
The amount of mid Rubiks I've played against or seen played is insane. It's so good. Mid Rubik is so good if you don't know how to play against him. I'm sure there's actually an easy way to counter him, but god, if you don't know what.
Yeah, of course. There's definitely an easy way to counter him. He's fine. He's not broken. Listen. Nick, it's me. I'm not playing fucking mid Rubik. I'm playing position 7 Rubik. It's fine.
I know. But it is. Yeah. Boy, that status resistor. You're lifted up for so long. You can just, like, be lifted, you know, sit back, like, go into the zoom in mode, the cinematic mode. Just take a look around the map. You have a little while, and then you can, you know, zoom back out, and then you'll land, and then you'll be stunned for another 2 seconds. It's very leisurely.
And then he'll hit you with the other stun that he's stolen from someone else in the meantime. It's great. I love it. I'm having these fights where I've actually finally shaken off my Rubik greed of, like, I need to get the fancy spells, and I'm just grabbing what I can get and making it work, and it makes me so much more effective.
Turns out having another spell is good.
Yeah.
Greed is good, though.
So, actually, that's an interesting point to bring up. You said greed is good. It made me think of Grievel's Greed, which is a passive, right? And Rubik can't steal passives.
Nope.
Or can he? Because one of the Arcana effects is for Troll's Fervor, which is a passive.
Wait, what?
Is there perhaps a change incoming where Rubik is going to be able to steal passives?
So you're talking about, like, in the tracking.
The ones when you level up, you unlock special effects for various abilities. Like level 1, you get like Laguna Blade, and you get like you get Doom, and you get a special egg. And one of those is Fervor. You get a special effect for Fervor.
Fervor is the one that you auto attack them continuously, and you get attack speed. Huh.
But he has that listed as one of his effects.
I've not seen anything about that on the Reddit. Interesting. But how
I don't know if that's maybe it could just be the wrong icon. I don't know. Maybe
that's the
it's
more
actually
likely
just,
answer with Valve. But
like I could see it actually being that it's just like it's the switch weapons thing for Troll. But makes you think.
Makes you think. Yeah, I mean, if you say it on this podcast, it'll probably come true. That's apparently how Valve does.
I would like that as an Ags effect. If you stole an ability from someone who, I don't know, didn't have an Ags upgrade, you got one of their passives. That would be neat.
That'd be cool.
Or something. Or some other, maybe that's a talent. I don't know. But I could see some fun there.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you want to talk about next? I can't tell because you're highlighting things in the notes, but I don't know what that means.
It's just what like, if just like, when you had 2 gems. Now hold on here.
I could see behind the scenes at TI8?
Exactly what I was thinking. We've been asking for it for so long, and by we I mean the people who upvote posts on the Dota 2 subreddit have been asking for both the Rubik Arcana and a True Sight for quite a while now. And Valve just threw something quickly together, and they're doing a True Sight global premiere event in Copenhagen in January, I think.
What's your coping mechanism for not being able to make it to the showing, Nick?
Maybe I can't make it to the showing. I can't make it to the showing.
I mean, you have money. I don't.
I don't have a passport. Money can't buy you love.
Wait, Six. You don't have a passport? Why don't I have a passport,
It expired. I should have a passport. I've never been out of the country.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta leave the country sometime. It gives you some perspective. Not as much as, you know, it's not like fucking Eat, Pray, Love. You're not gonna come back some kind of fucking changed woman. But it's neat.
I've been wanting to go places, but it just hasn't happened.
I mean, you've got a lot of time to get your passport.
Yeah, I do. Well, is it February or is it January?
I forget
when the event is.
Take my word for it. There are escort. What's the other word?
Escort services. Oof.
No, I want courier services. Couriers. Well, basically, if you pay a little extra, and by a little extra, I mean a lot extra, they'll basically like ferry the documents around to the people who need to sign it and make sure it gets done faster.
Yeah, I've heard of these rush jobs. Yeah.
I had to get one of those once because there was some trouble with my paperwork and I wanted to go to Ireland. So
yeah. For that sweet, sweet Guinness life, of course.
You know, I did have a Guinness while I was there.
Was it fine?
I drank a little bit of it and then I was like, excuse me, can I have a Coke instead? And I had the Coke and it was a good Coke.
Yeah.
And the best part is the pinnacle of the story. I did that at the top floor of the Guinness Brewery.
Wow. Savage.
It was a real power move.
Six, the absolute savage. Just poured it off of the top floor. Just poured it onto below. Here's the drink for the commoner, the peasants. Go ahead, drink it up. I'll have my refreshing ice-cold Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola's good. It's a good drink.
It's not really that great. Have you ever had a Coke and just thought about it? Just like actually tasted the drink? It's like, why not just have a fucking root beer? A gingered ale?
Well, see, the thing about, like, these are all very different experiences. Jackie's Chow just started early.
Okay.
But true sight's a thing. yes. So the thing is, Coca-Cola is refreshing. And I know like that's like their fucking advertising, but like genuinely, when I drink a ginger ale or a ginger beer or a root beer, I enjoy them, but it does not quench thirst.
So is that the end of your point? Your first point here?
I think the other thing about Coca-Cola is that it's engineered to be perfectly drinkable. You can just keep drinking Coke and it just continues to taste good. It is not a flavor profile that like changes, and it is not a flavor profile you get tired of, really. It's just a constant. It's just a good drink.
I agree with you on that second point. It is definitely engineered to be drinkable. On your first point, I think that you are a dirty capitalist pig. I think that you have fallen prey to the advertisement that a Coca-Cola is a refreshing beverage. Because I do not find it to be a refreshing beverage. I find it to be refreshing only in the sense that, drinking this Coke really makes me want to drink more Coke. When I think of like a refreshing soda, I think of like a ginger ale or a Sprite or like a lemon seltzer thing. I like a dark beer isn't refreshing to me. Like a warm summer's day, I don't be like, oh, I'm gonna go crack open a nice ice cold Guinness. Like you want a summer shandy or some sort of like light lager beer. You want something clear and cool. When I want something like that in a soda, I don't want like this dark Coke thing.
Okay, so 2 points. More than 2 points. Lots of points. Let's get to points.
Very
first off, okay, that's fair. I think I don't like lemon lime sodas. I just find them boring.
Okay.
And with ginger ale, it's not like or ginger beer, I just don't find it to be a drink that complements anything. It's like, if you're just sitting and drinking one, that's nice. But I don't feel like it's a drink you can have with very many things. It doesn't pair very well.
Sure.
I would agree. On the terms of drinks that are, like, sodas that are just refreshing, generally, if I just want to be refreshed, I'm just going to have ice water. But if it has to be a soda, the no longer manufactured Sprite Remix, Sprite Tropical Remix, is outstanding. And guess what, Nick? My surprises don't end there.
wait, there's more.
I just said no longer manufactured. I lied to you. They changed the name, and they hit it. It is now an exclusive version of Sprite you can only get at McDonald's.
What? McDonald's has their own Mountain Dew.
McDonald's Baja has Blast Sprite thing? Remix.
Sprite Remix McDonald's. What is it called?
Let me check.
It is called Mix by Sprite Tropic Berry.
Yes, apparently. That's the one. That's the one. Mix. Those fucking Sprite Remix, those tropical ones with, like, the pineapple and, like, strawberry flavor, those ones. I drank one a week when that summer where they were actually being made. I fucking loved them. And I went to a McDonald's and I was like, I saw this mix by Sprite. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I poured it into a cup and I drank it. And I, like, slammed the cup down. I was like, this is fucking Sprite Tropical Mix.
Bring me another round.
You cannot fool me.
God, I wonder, why the hell do beverage manufacturers do that thing where, like, they make an exclusive fountain drink for a restaurant, or, like, they make it exclusive?
Well, I think the answer is because as a mass market product, they don't think it's good enough or compelling enough to be its own thing. They don't think they can sell it as part of their regular cycle and have it do very well. But if it's like this exclusive treat that you only get when you go to a specific place, then it feels unique and you want it.
Yeah, it must be something like, the logistics. Like, they lose too much money putting it in a bottle and sending it places. But if they just put it into syrup and send it to, like, these distribution centers that are, you know, fast food restaurants, they can still make money and people like it.
And also, they can get a better deal that way, because it's like, you know, if it's an exclusive flavor, then that's a draw, and the restaurant's going to pay you a little more for that.
You got to negotiate, you know. Maybe Bottle Co. should buy our own. Like, if we can get to the table on some of those negotiations, do you think we could...
What soda? Okay. This is the most important segment we've ever done. Remember that time where we figured out about political distance in China? Fuck all that. What is the flavor of soda we want to negotiate for?
What is in our bottle that the crow has? Flavor of soda.
I mean, like, if we're going by the bottle, it's a blue substance, but also most blue sodas are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Only Mountain Dew Voltage is even drinkable. So we don't have to... I mean, like, you and I both like root beer. We could go for a root
beer. Yeah, I was going to say, like, a really good root beer would be amazing.
But, like, if we could get an
exclusive...
The problem is we need to make a profit off of this, Nicholas. Yeah. We can't just be like if we're just like, hey, give us a special version of A&W, no one's going to be able to fucking tell.
Yeah.
We'd have to get something nice, and then we're not making a profit anymore.
Yeah, we can't be too artisanal, but we don't want to be so cheap that, you know, nobody buys it.
It's tricky because I want to say something like a licorice root beer, because I feel like that matches our aesthetics, but licorice is disgusting, so that's a bad idea.
a good middle of the road. I feel like if we have a stable,
mediocre, like a not very good, so like Pepsi.
I was thinking like a root beer that has like the honey flavor to it, or like it's made with honey to replace some of the sugar.
Okay.
So, like, it's not super, we hand-brewed this root, and after, you know, balancing its reishi with the power crystals, it's just like, you know, in the recipe, we substituted in for honey for some of the stuff. And it had, you know, it gives it a good flavor. I recently finished a 5-gallon batch of mead, which is brewed with honey. So, you know, I guess I just got honey on the brain.
I think also to keep it really on brand, we have to add caffeine and taurine.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we figured it out. That was okay. good work. I'll around.
Call A&W. Who owns A&W, you think?
I think A&W owns A&W, right? They're with
really? Like, do they own other stuff?
They're like a restaurant company is mainly their thing, right? Like they're part of Yum, right? With Yum? Like Taco Bell and stuff? Yum food brands?
No, I don't know.
A&W, chain of fast food restaurants, root beer floats.
A&W headquarters is in Lexington, Kentucky.
So I think owned by Yum Food Brands, who owns Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, KFC, Wing Street.
Wing Street.
Oh, wait, no, they're formerly. Oh, man.
Oh, wait.
A&W broke out.
A great American brand, LLC.
They escaped.
Is their current company. What is a great American brand LLC?
That's a good question. This is, let's see. All I'm seeing is information about A&W. They all,
But they do have an estimated $82 million in revenue. So
I mean, that could just be A&W, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think they bought themselves and then just gave it this name?
They formed their own parent company? Probably. Their address is 2160 Island Drive, Lexington, Kentucky, 40502. If anybody wants to swing by and ask them, we would appreciate that. You know, just a live interview. We'll
Kevin
give you
Basner, A&W Chief Executive Officer at the time of the deal, said, "Our new owners, our franchisees, truly believe that A&W can profitably grow sales by focusing on our unique position within the QSR, or quick service restaurant industry, based on our heritage, service, and product quality, so it doesn't sound like it's the A&W people."
It's just people who believe in the A&W mission.
That's me. I believe in the A&W mission.
Six. Have I've you bought the A&W restaurants? You were the head of A&W the whole time. You know, this whole getting back to your roots thing, it reminds me, you know what we haven't talked about since last episode?
No, I don't.
Jackie Mao.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
I did know, actually.
December 16th, if I may, 10:50 a.m. cheat day. Just a picture of like a bowl of with, I guess, like a spring roll and a spoonful of what is probably just a mix of hoisin and sriracha, I guess. It's a very strange plating, but the bowl of pho. First off, the noodles also look different. Like, they look like udon noodles. They don't look like rice vermicelli pho noodles to me, which is a little strange, right?
They could be... They're definitely thicker. You're right about that. And they look a little bit flatter.
I mean, they just look like udon noodles to me. Like,
they're not that thick. They're not that thick.
I've seen there's thin udon, though. It does exist. Mm. I don't like it. But I've seen packages for them. I don't know. It looks like it's probably fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy pho. I had pho, I think, last Friday. Yeah, I had pho last Friday. It was very good.
It's true, but we are overly focusing because there is so much more to talk
December
about.
16th, 11:49 a.m. Green tea ice cream sandwich. I'm
Have
not
you
sure
green
where
tea ice cream.
Only in mochi form. Like, it's a popular same. Mochi stuffing, like the Japanese like rice confection. It's called mochi, made with like this special kind of sweet rice. And a popular stuffing for those is this like green tea or like, you know, matcha ice cream. And that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it appears it's wrapped in like a crepe.
It does look like, it does look like a crate. That's a good analysis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it looks like it'd be fine.
Cheat day, I mean, like, you gotta watch it, but I guess having some ice cream and some pho on
udon, like, noodle soups aren't actually that, you know, calorie intensive a lot of the time, because all of the broth is very filling, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the noodles are just, you know, carbs, but, you know, they're not just a big bundle of fat, so they're not super dense. If I may, though, December 16th, 12:27 p.m., so...
Well, he didn't tweet about... This is about Dota.
So, previously he tweeted at 11:49, so... How much later is 12:27, would you say, from 11:49? Just, you know, on average?
It's a little over half an hour later.
Okay. Mint chocolate chip ice cream from Baskin Robbins. It's like a scoop and a half or two scoops. Now, there are two scoops. Hold on. There are two spoons here. Maybe he split it with somebody else.
Or maybe he dual wielded?
He is probably proficient enough in ice cream that he could dual wield. That is very true. I realize this is a lost opportunity because you know what else is showing in this picture? A little bit of his sleeve. We got a little bit of cuff action here in the mint chocolate chip ice cream picture. So I probably should have retweeted it from at We Like Sleeves on Twitter as part of the 12 days of sleeve miss. But no, missed opportunity, missed connection.
Okay, well, that's a little much for a cheat day, but I guess, you know.
You know, maybe it was like a final thing, splitting it with
yourself sometimes.
I think, you know, his girlfriend or something is in another picture, you know, a nice date. December 16th, 3:09 p.m., Dirty Onizo Matcha Milk Tea Carb Day Count 400G+. What is in an Onizo matcha milk tea? Oh, wait, hold on.
I think it's a type of tapioca tea? Bubba tea, in other words? Milk tea? Mm-hmm. Bubba milk tea? Yeah, it does appear to be a brand. You're correct.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so I guess he's had 400 grams of carbs. Is what he's tracking. I guess he's very focused on the carb weight count, I guess, instead of, you know, the calorie count. It's a little weird. I don't know. We also have some great sleeves from, I don't remember if this is supposedly his girlfriend, some sort of female companion. I forget what the rest of the pictures we have to look through on his feed are. You know, some good sleeve action there as well. But, you know, I guess that's probably about it. Oh, nope. It turns out 16th of December, 4:29 p.m. Honestly, like, is he just sitting in a strip mall in Japan going to every single shop? Because he has two uneaten and one with a bite out of him. He had, like, a big container of macaroons sitting, I guess, by his PC because we see a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. I guess he could only eat one every 5 minutes. So that's why it took that long to post it.
I'm just picturing Jackie Mal sitting at his computer playing Dota really serious. And then, you know, it's 5 minutes and, you know, people are talking about bounties. And he just, you know, he takes his hand off the mouse and he goes a little past his monitor and he picks up a single macaroon and he just looks at it for a moment. Runes, and then he eats it and just like repeats that every 5 minutes, just like very pensively, just, you know, every time the bounty runes come up, he's like, runes, and then eats it. That would be a great scene in my new hit TV show.
Runes.
Also,
we're not done, folks.
No.
No, there's another one.
How much more can one man eat it? December 16th, 6:32 p.m. Not even half a day later. Not even a quarter of a day later. Really not much later at all. XD. He's given up. His brain is riddled with carbs, and he has stopped thinking. Eternal Envy, in front of him, we see a medium-sized... some sort of pizza. Let's just go ahead and describe it here. It's a regular pizza as far as we can tell in terms of the crust, though it seems to be perhaps stuffed or extremely thick. On one side we have pineapple, ham, olives. The other side we have pineapple, pepperoni, and some sort of mushroom. And Jackie himself is holding a container of creamy garlic something sauce, like some sort of cream garlic sauce, I guess, to dip his pizza into. And he is sucking on what I can only imagine is a Coke, just like furiously puckering on a straw, sucking up a Coke right now.
So it may be not that bad, right? Maybe he didn't have very much of that pizza. Maybe? Like 8 slices. How many? Oh, no. Next tweet of this 8 slice pizza, it apparently he had 6 slices.
17th of December, 12:44 a.m. I guess it was just a really long day. 550 gram carb today. Pho spring roll, sweet sauce, green tea ice cream, mint chocolate chip ice cream, bubble tea, 6 slice pizza, garlic cream sauce. XD.
Jackie.
XD6.
Jackie, sit down. I'm going to say something that is going to blow your mind. You're going to be in shock.
XD.
Your body doesn't know what the fuck a cheat day is. That's not how this works. A cheat day is like a little bit of wiggle room in your diet. It doesn't mean that the food you eat on your cheat day disappears, Jackie.
But it's cheating.
You can do whatever you want. I don't care. And you know, it looked like you enjoyed that food, and I think that's awesome. I love cooking, I love eating, I love food, even though I can't do that much of it right now because I'm still sick. But if you are trying to do a diet, if that is your goal, you have to understand that you are wasting your fucking time. If you're going to eat, just eat.
Envy,
if you're going to do
Envy,
a diet,
you just
do
live
a diet.
Your best life. Don't listen to the haters. You are the ideal male body. You are on the cover of Vogue. You are on the cover of Men's Cosmopolitan. You are on the cover of whatever other magazines exist.
I would never give him shit for his body. I would never do that. But okay, so here's a story, right? Here's a story for you. I used to work at a bar. I've used to work at a couple bars, actually. Mm-hmm. And you would get people who would be sitting there, and they'd be like, I can't have any carbs. I can't have any carbs at all. And they'd be looking down the menu and being like, are these fries breaded? Are they going to have carbs? Can I have this sandwich without bread? I can't have any carbs. And you'd be like, okay, I'll take care of everything for you. And they'd be like, thanks. And then they'd down their third Miller Lite. Motherfucker, that's made of carbs. It's fine, just don't delude yourself. It drives me crazy.
I do basically completely agree with you, but I think cheat day has surpassed its diet meeting. And even if you're not on a diet, I think people just like say cheat day as like a lmao, look at all this food I ate type of thing.
But he's previously established that he's on this particular diet.
That is true. But you know, if he wants to share his experience with the world, he's owning his cheat day.
I mean, like, I think it would be really funny to just take a picture of a cow and post it to Twitter with the caption cheat day. I think that would be hilarious.
What?
You do
some sort of strange non sequitur.
Listen, you follow my Twitter account. What the fuck do I do anyway?
I mean, I like sleeves, so I'm pretty weird.
I just want to make sure Jackie knows that that's not how this works. If Jackie's like, yeah, that's the fucking joke, you idiot, I will apologize.
I think he might be like that. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but also, you know, I got to defend Jackie.
That's fair.
It's in our blood.
And I worked at bars. I am the child of someone in the medical field, and you get people who come in and they're like, I mean, I smoke 3 packs a day, but it's my one vice. It's like, you don't get a free vice. That's not how this works. It's still killing you.
Get out of jail free, dude.
You do whatever you want, but understand and don't pretend about what is happening.
Gotta own it.
Anyway,
December 21st, 12:28 p.m. Good morning.
Good morning.
And good night to John Cena. Do 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 do.
Indeed. All right, well, I guess that's it for Jackie's Chow, or do we want to actually talk about food?
Oh, I forgot. I guess we talked about food a lot. Forgot you had a...
I mean, we talked a lot.
Wow, that
we're probably good.
What, like honestly. Over an hour and now? Yeah, I don't know. Uh-huh. Unless you want to, I don't know, we could talk about some other genre of thing. Let's just talk even less about it. I don't have a dice around, but we could just turn it into one of those D&D podcasts. I hear all the rage.
You know, within arm's reach of me right now is a stack of three generations of D&D handbooks.
Six, roll a d20.
Okay, I have to stand up for that.
Okay.
Okay, I'll be right back. Let me lean close to the table.
This is going to be a DC 12.
16.
Holy shit. So you do pass. So you get to read the credits. But also, that wasn't some amazing dice foley right there. And that was just through Discord, so it's compressed and all. I hope everybody appreciated that amazing dice foley recording.
I don't fuck around. I have dice on hand at all times. Because you never know when you're going to need to gamble and lose your livelihood.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, go ahead. Take it away, then.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. And I want to thank everyone for following this via RSS or iTunes or however you got it. Please spread the word. That would be greatly appreciated. This show has been going for a while, and we'll be going for a while yet. And with your support, we can do even greater things. I want to give a thank you to Ashley Ryan, a.k.a. Sfimmy, who did our podcast art, The Bottle with Crow and Dagon. You can get a commission of your own, if you like, at patreon.com/Sfimmy. And you can also find Sfimmy on Twitter at twitter.com/Sfimmy. I also want to give a thank you to Jeffrey Bryce, a.k.a. Pomodi, who made the Harmonies of New Bloom. That's right, folks. We're back to Harmonies of New Bloom. It's good to be back. That is our intro and outro here on the show. That music pack is in Dota 2 if you want to purchase it and use it for yourself. But you could also go to the Steam Workshop and find the Highlander music pack and the Rhythms of Rift Shadow Ruins, which are two other packs that Jeffrey Bryce has made and would like to get into Dota 2, and they're both high-quality music productions. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. There is the Bottle Crow Twitter. That's at Bottle Crow. If you give us like a serious question on there, I mean, we'll answer it, but also, what are you doing? You should probably just harass us with shitposts.
That's what We Like Dota does. I mean, you know, yeah, basically no, just Arian, but...
Yeah, it's basically just Arian being like, hey, are you going to talk about food this week? We talk about food every week. We got you.
We got
you covered.
I guess, I don't know when this episode will go up, but we probably are still within the 12 days of Sleevesmas at We Like Sleeves. So we'll see what ends up happening for the 12th day, you know, on Sleevesmas Day. But, you know, happy Frostivus.
Yeah, we're recording on the 22nd. It will go up the 23rd or the 24th. You have my word.
Wow.
So...
Service with a smile.
Service with a smile on here. You come into my workplace, there will be no smile. I hate this time
of year. A cold, brutal, efficient machine.
Okay, so I have two stories from work that I have to tell here.
You do, because I think I know one of them.
One of them is better than the other, so I'll do that one second. The first one is, so I was working what's called drive up, right? Which is basically you can place an order online and we'll bring your items out to you and you can take it and go. I work at a retailer. And you know, you have people come in and it's just like, okay, show me the barcode on your phone and I'll scan it and then you can have your stuff. And I bring stuff out to this guy who's parked in the drive up spot and he's got his phone and he's staring at it and it has the screen. It's like, okay, here's your order and it has the barcode. And I'm like, drive up? And he says, no. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yes, I'm not drive up. I'm like, okay, well, these are your items. And he sort of looked around and then was like, okay, you can scan my thing. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
What?
And I scanned his thing and it was the right barcode and I gave him his stuff and then he left. I don't know what the fuck what that was about.
Very strange.
But the other one is the better story, even though there's perhaps less to it. So I was, again, since I was working there, I was working around the front a lot, and there was a gentleman that was walking around a lot who had like a black nylon backpack, And then tucked in between the backpack and his back, where he was wearing like a red hoodie, was a katana and a wakizashi in their sheath, a pair of Japanese swords. And I didn't stare too much, but as best I could tell, these were just real swords sheathed on his back, where the handles were patterned after the American flag. And, I mean, obviously you can't take a sword into a major commercial retailer who I won't name. But are you going to fucking walk up to this guy with two swords and say, excuse me, you can't have your swords in here? No, you're not. So everyone just pretended not to see them. And he was just walking around hanging out with his fucking swords. And it was the weirdest thing.
America. Very, very strange. Interesting people in the world, turns out.
Maybe they were a Christmas present.
I mean, I guess I would accept a Christmas present that is a Japanese sword with like a bunch of U.S. flags on the handle. Seems like a good thing to put, you know, I guess above your mantle, above your PC.
Above your head as you walk around talking to people, definitely not threatening them with Konnichiwa. Your fucking swords. Watashi wa shinu desu.
Oh my god.
All right. Peace out, everybody.
Sure.